Philippians chapter 2, our portion this afternoon is verses 14 and 15. Let's pray. Help us now, we pray, O God, for apart from your grace, we have no life, no good in us. Not even the good of reading or speaking or hearing your word well. And so attend us by your Spirit and glorify yourself in Christ, to whom you have joined us and through whom we ask it. Amen. Philippians 2, verses 14 and 15. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. Do all things without complaining or grumbling and disputing or arguing. Perhaps no group of people in Scripture is more famous for having done everything with grumbling and arguing as the generation that came out of Egypt and their grumbling against the Lord. Because we do not appreciate the greatness and glory of his goodness to us like we ought, fail to appreciate the wickedness of our grumbling and murmuring under his hand and in response to him, especially when he has done something so great for us. I think that if you are at all like I am, when you are reading through Exodus or Numbers, even in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, and the way that they complain against God and are continuously grumbling against his providence to them and raising themselves up against his servant Moses, by whom he was leading them and saving them, we are often ready for Psalm 95. How can this generation that saw these things and that the Lord did this stuff for, how can they possibly grumble against him? But I suggest to you, dear Christian, that the apostle has just now, in Philippians, in the context leading up to us, held up the mirror and says, has he not done much greater for you? Yes, they saw the plagues, and they saw Egypt humbled, and they saw the Red Sea split, and they saw the fire and the cloud of glory. And has the apostle not just told us that he who is in the form of God took the form of a bondslave and became a man so that he could die for us on the cross? And has he not just immediately in the context said that the way your and my salvation is being worked out is because God himself is doing it? And shall we, of whom chapter 1 and verse 6 said that God has begun this work in us and God will complete this work in us, and of whom the verse immediately preceding our text this afternoon says that it is God who is working in us both to will and to work for his good pleasure, shall we grumble and argue, complain, under the providence of God to us? And yet we often find ourselves doing so. And so he sets before us not only this mirror, as it were, using the same logic by which we rightly are horrified at the Exodus generation, but also by setting before us the logic of whose children we are and what the generation we live in is like. And so he continues verse 15 saying that you may become blameless and innocent, harmless, no evil in you whatsoever. Children of God. He says, don't you realize who your daddy is? And not only should we want to bring him honor and glory, but we want to reflect his character. You see, we've got two things pulling on us. One is the one who has adopted us in Christ the Son, who is glorified as the one whose name is above every other name, and who is the Lord. He's glorified as those things by our being conformed to his image, who died for us. But then the other hand, we have the world that we still live in that is the opposite of him in every way. It hates God. It is a world of crookedness and perverseness. There's not a straight thing in God's law that this world doesn't want to twist and pervert and turn crooked. And we have seen that the less the gospel is preached and believed and the Christ of the gospel clung to and delighted in and submitted to, the more the law of God has been under continuous attack, so that everything that could possibly be made crooked or perverse. It is a generation of darkness, a world of darkness. And so we've got these two things pulling on us. And he says, do you not realize that a grumbling, complaining spirit belongs to the perverse generation? That God said about that generation, that it is a generation that goes astray, that is corrupted in their hearts. And he swore in his wrath that they would not enter his rest. He says, that's that grumbling and complaining spirit doesn't belong to the spirit of the child of God. It belongs to the crooked and perverse generation. What does the child of God look like? Well, it looks like his only begotten son, doesn't it? It looks like after 40 days of not just eating and drinking, but the devil attacking him with every temptation. Not just not eating and drinking, fasting, but the devil attacking him and being in the wilderness by himself. The devil comes and says, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. And there's God's firstborn child in the wilderness, right? Just what he had said of Israel. Israel is my firstborn son. Let him go that he may worship me. And Jesus, the 40 days in the wilderness, the Holy Spirit, you know, pointing, as it were, with a neon sign saying, this is the son, that Israel ought to have been and couldn't be, and to whom I will conform you when I redeem you. And the devil comes, tell these stones to become bread. And Jesus says, no, I'm content with what I have from my Father. Because man doesn't live by bread alone. And I've become a man. And I live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so, there's a real strong, isn't there, condemnation of grumbling and complaining and incentive against it for us, that we would want to reflect the spirit of Christ and not the spirit of a perverse generation. This hits home, doesn't it? Because let us get 2 or 3 minutes into whatever conversation we're going to have as soon as we pray and start cleaning up and get ready to go. And immediately we'll have 100 different temptations to grumbling, won't we? That complaining spirit, or whatever comes in his providence this evening or tomorrow morning or throughout the week. Oh, but it is God who is working in us, both to will and to work, and it is his Son to whom he is conforming us. So let us make this part of the battle cry of our Christian life, to do all things without grumbling, without complaining, without disputing, without arguing. And may he grant it to us. Let's pray that he would. Father, give us the contentment that belongs to the righteousness of your Son, so that we may be blameless and pure in this crooked and perverse generation, delighting in your law and delighting also in your providence to us, knowing that it does come from your fatherly hand, and wanting to be your children who are content with your wisdom for us. Grant it to us by your Spirit, who produces in us love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Oh, we praise you that this is the Spirit whom you have given to us. Grant that his fruit would be more and more evident in our lives, which we ask for Christ's glory and through his name. Amen.